Most of us have had a pet of one kind or another, or have had one, something in our lives. For many, it has been a beloved dog. I know I've had several. And that, you know, to many, the breed of the dog may be inconsequential, so long as it is a loving animal and fits well within the family. So the breed doesn't really make any difference to them. That means it could very well be a mutt or a mixed breed, a street dog. That's what my last dog was, and he was my companion. But to others, the dog has to be a certain breed with a distinguished pedigree. Among these are those whose dog becomes a hobby, and maybe even more than that, for they get involved in showing their animal with a dream of a Westminster ribbon. The dog then becomes more than a pet. It almost becomes a business for the rights of breeding. The lineage is everything in this case, the pedigree. And you know, this has been the story of royalty throughout history in the humankind. The bloodline of royalty is passed down from generation to generation. And they're referred to as dynasties or royal families or houses, like the United Kingdom's House of Windsor. And we like to refer to this kind of lineage as being blue bloods. In many societies, this blue blood lineage is carefully guarded and scrutinized. In most cases, it is frowned upon marrying outside of this lineage, marrying to a commoner. Of course, the most recent example of going outside was that with Prince William to Catherine. The fact is, to have blue blood in one lineage may not be so uncommon, especially among those of German descent. Even I have German descent blue blood in me. Royalty abounded among the many states of Germany and eventually assimilated into the general population as their states were consolidated into what is known as Germany today. But historic lineage is not the only way we are identified. We are also identified by our current family and its accomplishments and maybe even its failures. Being the second child, I can remember having some of the same teachers as my brother. Now, my brother had talents and academic strengths which were not passed along to me. But what the teachers thought I must have had also. Changing that mindset in some instances was a challenge. Since I had my own identity, my own talents, and academic strengths. The reality is that, you know, we are often identified by circumstances, economic circumstances, social status, talents, strengths, weaknesses, of how our families are perceived, and therefore how we are perceived. It is not only our hereditary legacy which helps to identify who we are, but it is determined by our education, the organizations we may belong to, the philosophies and theologies and political ideals we believe and profess in, the mere fact of the school we attended or organizations we belong to carries with it how we may be perceived by others. On the other hand, those institutions and organizations and maybe professed beliefs are perceived by others as to what they see in us. We are then like a mirror. People interpret not only who we are through our actions and lives, but they transfer all of that into every aspect of the life we represent. If we decide to go astray, then it must be a part of our philosophy, must be a part of our institutional membership of which we are part of. This is also true when a child of a family goes astray. Immediately, it is thought to be a weakness in the family which causes this to happen. Some of us have experienced that. And of course, the church is suffering from all of the previous scandals, which seem to be many in recent years. This has led many to see hypocrisy within the institution. For instance, within our lifetime, we saw the church as a haven to such things as racism. In some instances, it preached brotherhood and equality for all. But in reality, only gave lip service to this. Society, for the most part, took the lead for integration, while the church, for the most part, kept silent. The actions of its members spoke loudly as to what the church was about. Therefore, even when the institutional church took a position supporting integration, for instance, it was viewed by the attitudes and actions of its members still as a racist organization. Whether we like it or not, we are the face to all of the world to that which we represent or profess to believe. We are inseparable from them, whether rightly or wrongly. And this is exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples. Whoever welcomes you, he welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. For instance, the identity of this church for other people is not this building or its institutional makeup of the ELCA, but is found through you and through me as individuals. You and I are Epiphany Lutheran Church to those we meet every day. Not only that, we are in fact the personal representative of Jesus. It is through us that others may see Jesus, and ultimately, the God of love. This is a great responsibility. Just as our actions may either disgrace our family or shed misjudgment upon that which we may represent, our lives also may bring honor to them. So too our lives will either be misunderstanding of the gospel or the glory to the gospel. We become the window for those who wish to see Jesus. We are to be the living example of his life. Life finds its meaning and its fulfillment, no less rewards, when it reflects the identity which it professes. You know, the old saying prevails. We must walk the walk and just not talk the talk. And Jesus said, and whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of the disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. To have this identity of being God's representative does not call for overwhelming intelligence or talent. It does not need to have some special gift. No one is more likely than the other to be the instrument of God's love. This is what Luther called the priest of all believers. Even the smallest act, like giving a cup of cold water to a child, is as important and may even be more important than delivering the most eloquent of all sermons, or praying the most spirit-lifting prayer, or singing the most beautiful of hymns. The love and devotion that we show within our families just may be more important than all of the sermons ever heard. The gift of sharing our lives with someone who is sick or shut in may be even more important than all the words that any great theologian has ever written. Each of us has our own talents and abilities. They are essential to being that living example of God's love, no matter how mundane the contribution may seem. Paul states, now there are varieties of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Every one of us has something to give. Every one of us is important in the proclamation of the gospel. No one can minimize their importance in living God's love. Our gift may just be that word or that act which may lead someone to see Jesus' message. This is the reward of the righteous. To know that life is fulfilled through the gifts we are given and live that which brings God's love to another child of God. Let me, again, and I've told this story before, and it demands repeating. It's the most poignant story, and the author is unknown. And I quote, one night at 11:30, an older African-American woman was standing on the side of an Alabama highway trying to endure a lashing rainstorm. Her car had broken down, and she desperately needed a ride. Soaking wet, She decided to flag down the next car. A young white man stopped to help her. Generally unheard of in those conflict-filled 1960s. The man took her to safety, helped her get assistance, and put her into a taxi cab. She seemed to be in a hurry. She wrote down his address and thanked him and drove away. 7 days went by, and a knock came on the man's door. To his surprise, a giant combination console color TV and stereo player was delivered to his home. A special note was attached. The note read, "Dear Mr. James, thank you so much for assisting me on the highway the other night. The rain drenched not only my clothes, but my spirits. Then you came along. Because of you, I was able to make it to my dying husband's bedside just before he passed away. God bless you for helping me and unselfishly serving others." Whether true or not, it was signed sincerely, Mrs. Nat King Cole. In this instance, there was a tangible reward. But what greater reward is it to realize that God's love is experienced by others through our lives? To be true to our most meaningful identity, the identity of being a child of God's love, is the most important thing we can do in life. It is greater than any blue blood we may have in our veins, or any social status we may have inherited, or any physical stature we may have. It is more meaningful than any political persuasion or any wealth we have obtained. But this identity comes with a responsibility. No, better yet, it comes with the joy of knowing that in and through us, the world in which we live is able to see this message of Jesus, the good news. To do elsewise is to lead others to a misunderstanding of what God's love is all about. You see, you and I are an important part in helping others to realize that life is a gift of God's love. And we are to share in this life. And it is through us that this gift will bring meaning and joy to those who are in need of receiving a cup of cold water. Amen.